Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., has made extraordinary contributions in the fields of holistic health, anti-aging, optimum nutrition, and balanced living. Susan is the founder and president of Health Unlimited, a Los Angeles-based consulting firm dedicated to optimal wellness and human potential. She's the author of many celebrated books, including her latest four books that cover in detail our topic today. First for Children, her new celebrated novelette, an inspiring, value-driven, and beautifully illustrated novelette, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden, which goes well with her other best-selling and award-winning children's two-in-one nutrition book, Vegetable Soup, The Fruit Bowl. And then for adults, the dynamic duo, Uplifted and Hug in a Mug. Raising healthy children can be a very daunting and challenging task in this day and age, with so many activities. Poor food choices, sitting too long in front of computers, smartphone, other screens, peer pressure from friends, and much more. Well, our guest today, holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., has worked with parents and children for decades worldwide and will offer her best tips on how to raise healthy children physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. These tips will also apply in your life, too, whether you have children or not. So parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, nannies, caretakers, neighbors, and anyone of any age who wants to experience vibrant health on all levels, keep a pen and paper handy because you want to take notes. As Susan teaches in Joy and the Butterfly and Uplifted, when children experience a parent who reacts with kindness and prioritizes healthy living, they learn to act the same way, thereby altering generational patterns for a kinder, healthier future. A more compassionate and robust world starts with kind, healthy kids. And here to talk about it, Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D. Dr. Susan, welcome back to the program.
Well, I'm always very, very happy to be with you, Rick. Wonderful. And I love this topic because, like you just said, even if you don't have children or nieces or nephews, this is a topic about being healthy, body, mind, and spirit, and having a healthy family and raising healthy children. It's so important. So it doesn't matter if you don't have kids. You'll get lots of value out of this program today.
A lot of good information. And Susan, let's start by giving us maybe an overview of raising healthy families, which you say, as I mentioned before, balanced approach to nutrition, physical activity, mental health, education. And you have a very refreshing and simple holistic approach that is the underpinning of your new award-winning novelette titled Joy and the Butterfly, which we'll talk about in detail later on in the program. Give us an overview of what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, a little brief background. I did teach students, staff, and faculty at UCLA how to be healthy and fit. But before I did, and I retired in the year 2000 so I could travel around the world and talk to adults and kids and families and teach people how to create vibrant health. But before I taught those 30 years, I also got one of my many degrees at UCLA as a teaching credential. And then I taught for a couple years at the University Elementary School that was right at UCLA. So I've had decades of experience working with children and adults and how to keep everyone in the family healthy. That's why I love this topic. So there's a quick overview about my history, but now our overview about the topic. I often tell the parents that hardening of the attitudes is something that many adults succumb to. And yet the children in our lives teach us the importance of relinquishing our rigid outlooks and our posturing. And being around young children is one of my most favorite pastimes. It always enriches my life in so many ways because their approach to life is a gentle reminder to me that life is to be celebrated and enjoyed. But it's difficult to enjoy oneself when the child is unhealthy, as so many kids are these days. And we both know, Rick, that when a child is born, a dream is born. And what happens is the child grows up to fulfill that dream, like you sort of talked about in the intro, is dependent upon how the parent nurtures and nourishes that child. One of my favorite quotes by Ralph Waldo Emerson that we've talked about before is this: health is our greatest wealth. And that's definitely true for children as well as teens and adults, because if you don't have your health, you know how your life can just turn upside down. And while every child is different, I believe there are certain things that parents can do to expose their children to a healthier lifestyle. So today, I'm going to talk a lot about healthy foods and physical activity, because they both ride tandem as essential components to raising healthy children. And I'm the first to admit, and you and I have talked about this before on previous shows, but parents can easily become overwhelmed with information overload about food choices. Yeah, and overwhelmed with what? Jobs, commuting, stress-filled lifestyles. Although we as parents understand that this good nutrition is important for our children, many children in real life still eat diets high in sugar and fat, low in calcium, low in fresh fruits and vegetables. Even with all these new diet rules out these days, we still need to work on the health of our children. And how our children eat has a great deal to do with what they learn from the people around them. Really, the bottom line, the underpinning of today's discussion. And children often duplicate the physical activity level of their parents. And these messages are received in subtle and not so subtle ways.
When we talk about what they eat, what we eat, it all centers around, in most cases, the dinner table. And a common complaint of parents is that the dinner table often becomes a battle zone. How do we prevent this, and at what age are eating preferences established for kids?
Yeah, gosh, isn't that the truth? I hear that from parents so often. And when I do counseling with parents without the kids around, you know, the first thing, well, I can see what they look like. I can see if they're healthy. But I always remind the parents that they are the best example, and they want to be the best example they can be for their children that will make a profound difference. And I also tell them that feeding children often becomes a balancing act, because many homes, like you just said, can turn into a battle zone, especially when you sit down to a meal. And the more you force, the less they eat. And the battle zones create stress and conflict at that dinner table and breakfast and lunch table. But somehow we have to get the message across to them about healthy eating and living. And you asked about at what age are eating preferences established. I just read a recent study from the University of Tennessee, and it's shown that eating preferences are established by 3 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that actually surprised me a little bit, although I've read something about that in the past. They said five, but now it's three. And it's a matter of what you do with them at a very young age. And the younger your child is when you start this philosophy of healthy eating and living, the easier it will be later on. But whatever the age of the child, it's better to start now than later. So what can parents and like caretakers do to make a positive, healthy difference in the lives of the children that are in their lives? Well, this is what we'll be talking about now. Some of my favorite 12 tips that I've used for about 35 years as a holistic lifestyle educator and health consultant.
Our guest is Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. You'll find her website has vast information on this topic and so much more. It's SusanSmithJones.com. She's available on X, on Instagram. I'll give you all of that as we go through the conversation today. Let's start with the 12 tips for raising healthy children and vibrant families. number one, look at yourself first. Boy, that really goes back to what we establish as parents, doesn't it?
It sure does. You really can't expect your children to eat lots of good, healthy fruits and vegetables if you often say how much you don't like them at home.
Yes.
So look at yourself first. That's number one. It's essential for you as the parent or caretaker to make the necessary changes in your life, since children learn best by example. And you can't expect, like I said a moment ago, your children to eat more fruits and veggies if you never eat them or rarely extol their virtues. You want to be a shining example to your children. That's such an important role as a parent, to be the shining example. Everything from showing kindness to eating healthy foods to being physically active to looking at the bright side of things to count your blessings. You've got to be the example.
Number two is variety is the spice of life. Vegetables are fine, but you can't eat broccoli every day. Talk about variety and why that's so important. And showing a child there are other choices out there.
And you could eat broccoli every day, by the way. You could have it in different forms. You could hide it in things, put it in smoothies, nibble on it, steam it, grill it, whatever. But always have a variety of colorful fruits and veggies on hand, and let kids help with the selection of the produce in the grocery store and the preparation of food at home. Studies show, Rick, that the children that help create the fresh food meals are most apt to eat the food once prepared. And this goes for school lunches, too. Let your child help you create a power lunch to take to school. Things like baby veggies and easy fruit, like delicious, Satsuma tangerines or that are easy to peel, and fresh berries. These are all easy to eat, especially if you're in a hurry or for a snack, and they provide quick energy. And one of my other children's books, it's two books in one, called Vegetable Soup, that goes from the beginning to the middle, and then in the middle, the second book starts, a picture book with rhyme and verse. The second part is The Fruit Bowl, and it won a wonderful award from iDisney Parenting Media Award as the best children's book years ago for health and nutrition. And if you go to my website, go to books in the navigation bar and scroll right down to it. You can read reviews, really great reviews on the book, and you can get autographed copies from me too. Kids love this book. And we've shown that once a child reads this book and they read it over and over, they want to eat more fruits and veggies. So variety is the spice of life, yes.
And you talk about taking a fruit break. That's number three on your list of tips for raising healthy children and vibrant families. How do you incorporate that, and how do you go about that?
Yeah, you know, it sounds like a no-brainer, but a lot of people get so busy in their lives they forget things like this. And every day have your child take a fruit break, because fresh fruit like what? Apples, oranges, berries, bananas, kiwi, grapes, tangerines, one of your favorites, pears, contain a plethora, I love that word, of nutrients, including enzymes, vitamins, minerals, antioxidant, and fiber. And fruit is a high water content food that's often sorely missing in the diet of most children who need at least three different fruits daily. And I like to make this really practical. So if children take one fruit break during the day and add that to the fruit they'll have with breakfast and then also lunch, they'll be well on their way to enhancing their health and fortifying their bodies. Now, additionally, take a daily veggie break, like cut up bell peppers, baby carrots, celery sticks with delicious nut butter in them, cherry tomatoes, baby squash. Kids love baby veggies, by the way. string beans. And if you serve these with healthy dips, kids will love them and strive for. And here's your broccoli, and you could lightly steam it so it's not so hard, or the cauliflower. Sliced mushrooms are always good too, but strive for 7 servings of veggies. And that's not hard to do if you have colorful salads and soups, but you want to find ways to make these health breaks fun and rewarding. Make them fun.
With that strategy, you're able to incorporate all of the various fruits, vegetables in the child's diet, in your diet as well. All of this and so much more with our guest on the program, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. We're going to take a brief break, come back, and continue talking about tips for raising healthy children and vibrant families. More with Dr. Susan on This Week in America after these messages. Welcome back to This Week in America. Our guest, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. We're talking today about tips for raising healthy children and vibrant families. We're up to number 4 on our list of 12 tips. Keep your home a junk food-free zone. Talk about how you go about this.
So you know that old saying, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Yep.
Now that really comes true when it comes to junk foods, because you want to keep highly processed, refined foods to a bare minimum at home. Let your child choose. That's always good. Give them choice from a variety of fresh, whole foods rather than you always deciding for them what they should be eating. In other words, give them back the power to choose, but make sure you offer them a variety of healthy foods from which to select.
Interesting. And again, all of this on Dr. Susan's website, susansmithjones.com. Break the food seduction is next on the list. How do we go about doing this? This is a good message for adults as well.
It sure is, because processed foods, and we hear a lot these
yes.
days, about ultra-processed foods, but they wreak havoc on every cell in the body.
Yes.
And these processed foods, those are high in sugar, white flour, salt, preservatives, and additives, are very addicting. And the more they're eaten, the more they're craved. And that goes for children, teens, and adults. It's always best to begin each meal with a nutrient-dense, high-fiber food, so children receive nutrients before consuming maybe other empty-calorie foods, those with high calories and little to no nutritional value. For example, let's say you all go out to an Italian restaurant. Before scarfing down the bread and the butter and the pizza and the pasta, have a little vegetable plate, you know, the antipasto plate, and maybe veggie soup or maybe a salad. Get that nutrient-dense, high-fiber food in first, and then you won't be quite as hungry to then continue scarfing down the other foods made with white sugar, white flour, salt, preservatives.
We've talked before about the role of sleep and water, and that's on your list here as well. Talk about that, because that's really sort of the remedy for about everything that we're doing wrong out there, isn't it? Get more sleep and drink more water.
Yeah, and you know, I could talk about each of these topics for an hour. I'm just kind of giving you the basics.
Yes.
But you always want to make quality sleep and plenty of water your priority. Lack of sleep and pure water exacerbates the craving for processed foods. And you want to always establish, you and I have done whole shows dedicated to sleep. You want to establish a nightly sleep routine and also encourage ample water drinking throughout the day. Not all of it right before you go to bed, because half the night you'll be making
yes.
trips to your bathroom.
Well, that enters into your aerobic activity then at that point.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And always offer, like I said, a variety of whole foods. So keep in mind that feeling tired and cranky and lacking energy or becoming moody, all of these are often a sign of dehydration and or lack of sleep. So sleep, water, and the consumption of a variety of colorful, healthy foods needs to be a non-negotiable daily ritual in your home life.
You know, be prepared is number 7 on the list. And that's interesting because if we were prepared, we could prevent a whole lot of these problems, couldn't we?
Yes, and I was a Girl Scout. Were you a Boy Scout?
I was a Boy Scout as well. Well, not as well, but I was a Boy Scout, yes.
Yes, yes. Well, when they always taught us to be prepared, and I love that concept, because you want to graze throughout the day on whole foods, and this goes for children and adults, because when the blood sugar level drops too low, you'll crave eating anything that's quick, and it's often void of nutrients. So it's good to keep plastic storage bags on hand. I prefer glass containers, but whatever your preference, on hand filled with healthy foods so you and your kids won't become famished. Keep them easy to pull out from the refrigerator, or you're going on hours of errands. Make sure you have something with you. So all of a sudden you haven't eaten in hours and your steering wheel turns itself into the fast food
yes.
restaurants. You have no control. Keep in mind that being very hungry distorts your common sense.
And let's go back to dinner table. Do you have that down, number 8, make the family dinner table sacred? How do we go about doing that? We talk about the problems that are created at the dinner table. How do we make it sacred?
Well, some practical ways to do that. First of all, barring an emergency, it's always important to make it a priority to have dinner together, at least dinner, preferably breakfast and on the weekends lunch, but for sure dinner as a family. And don't use this time to discuss problems or use your cell phones. Make it a cell-free zone at the dinner table, all meal times actually. And you can't say to your kids, you can't have your cell phone. Hopefully the kids no longer use a cell phone, but you can't say to them, you can't use it, but you're using it at the dinner table.
Yes.
So be mindful of that. Stressful meals will always impede digestion. And it also will suppress the immune system and stifle joy and serenity. Mealtime should nourish the body and soul. And I always recommend, as a family, to say grace before dinner. Even if you're eating a meal alone, maybe you live alone and have no kids, just say grace. Thank you for God. Thank you for this meal, for the people that maybe grew the food, someone who maybe prepared it for you. Just say grace. That 30 seconds or so of grace before the meal will do wonders in helping you digest the food better, because it calms you down a little bit.
One of the items on the list, the next one, is join the breakfast club. Talk about the importance of that. We've talked about that before, that some people think, I'm going to skip breakfast. I really don't need it. I'm saving the calories, and I'm going to be fine. Join the breakfast club. Why is that so important?
Yeah, absolutely. Children need a healthy breakfast to start the day. We do, too, as adults.
Yes.
But especially children. And the word breakfast, as you know, we've talked about it before, means breaking the fast from the night before. If you feel rushed in the mornings, get organized the night before with, you know, perhaps setting the breakfast table, making the lunches the night before, laying out your clothes, organizing the breakfast meal. And as you and I have talked about countless times, I always say that the first 40 minutes of the day sets the tone for the day. So you want to make your first 40 minutes with your family filled with organization, healthy foods, and lots of fun. And I'm going to give you a little teaser here. I'm going to say Psalm 143, verse 8. And I want everyone to look that up, because that has to do with what you want to do every morning, first thing when you wake up. It's so beautiful. Well, I'm going to give you a hint. Every morning when I wake up, I say to God and my guardian angels that I surrender this day to you. Please watch over me and guide me on everything I think, feel, say, and do. I trust in thee. Well, Psalm 143:8, I'll let you read that in different versions too. It's about asking God to show you the way you should walk that day. It's a great passage in the Bible to read in the morning.
Sounds like a great way to start the day. Our guest is Susan Smith-Jones. We're talking about tips for raising healthy children, vibrant families. On the list of 12, we're up to 10 now, which is exercise as a family and get outdoors in nature.
Well, yes, yes, yes. I love that. You know how much I love being outdoors in nature. Just 20 minutes outdoors in nature, and it could be a beautiful backyard that you've created, will elevate your mood, boost your immune system, really bring joy and happiness to your life, make you feel better about everything, helps you to look at the more positive side of life. But you want to get involved. When I say exercise as a family, get involved with your children's favorite physical activities. Play basketball or soccer with them. Swim together. Jog at the park or the beach. Hike the trails. Bike around the block. I like to say that a family that exercises together stays healthy together and closely connected. You'll find lots more about this and how to stay uplifted day in and day out in my book called Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality.
Let's talk about rewarding healthy choices. That's next on the list, and that's so important to acknowledge reward when you do something positive, isn't it? It reinforces that.
I love that you've just said that, because too often, and not a good thing to do, is constantly catching your children doing things they shouldn't be doing. So it's like always negative. No, don't do that.
Yes.
No. Catch them when they're doing positive things. Reward healthy choices. Find ways to reward your child when he or she makes choices. Let's say, for example, to be more physically active. And then reward these behaviors like a reward could be giving them extra quality time with you if they're more physically active, or with friends, or a trip to the library, or even a movie, or maybe a minute of TV time for every minute that they are physically active and they exercise.
I like all of those ideas, and you'll find so much more on Susan's website, her name, SusanSmithJones.com, and tying it all together, sort of the number 12, encourage creativity to exercise. And encourage is something that I'm thinking about on all of these would come in handy, especially creativity to exercise. Exercise, you don't need a lot of expensive equipment, do you? Or even balls or bats or whatever. With creativity, you can find a way to exercise.
No, that's absolutely right. And kids have a very great imagination.
Yes.
And they love to come up with ideas. They like to make you proud, and then you need to acknowledge how smart and creative they are. But invite your children to find ways to be more physically active. For example, maybe taking the stairs instead of the elevator, parking at the end of the parking lot when shopping, skipping together at the local park or the beach before or after a family picnic, or exercising while watching television. These are all creative ways to get in more physical activity.
Let's wrap it up here with maybe a final words, final thoughts of yours in conclusion about raising healthy children and families, making healthy choices. Before we say goodbye on today's program, sort of tie it all together, the importance of that, not only for you individually, but for the family as a unit.
Absolutely. One of my favorite buddies 2,500 years ago, Pythagoras, gave us this really sage advice, and you think about it, it's so true back then probably, but for sure these days. And it's efficacious for children, teens, and adults alike. And here's what he said, paraphrasing him. It's choose what is best. Habit will soon render it agreeable and easy. Just know that every healthy choice we make, Rick, it adds up. We are what we eat, how we exercise, what we think, and happy children are healthy children, and healthy children are happy children. You want to choose to make health a top priority, and you want to be, like we've talked about this whole program, start by being proactive. Let's love and protect our children and teach them how to live healthfully, because they are our future and they are worth it.
Great conversation today. Our guest, Susan Smith-Jones. And before we go, let's talk a little bit about it. Let's talk about the new novelette book. And by the way, we'll talk about that in a second. What is novelette? For some of us who are not familiar with the term, it's not often used. For children of all ages and for the young at heart, adults as well, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. And where can we get copies of this new book, as well as your other celebrated books that we've talked about, like Vegetable Soup, The Fruit Bowl, A Hug and a Mug, and Uplifted? And where on your website can they sign up for the free monthly Healthy Living newsletters? Let's start that with novelette. What is a novelette, and where can we get this? And a little bit about the book, because it's an award-winning book.
Yes, it is. Thank you. You don't hear the word novelette that often, but it's a short novel, typically one that's light or a romantic. Romantic can mean many things, like bringing more love into your life, or sentimental in character. Joy and the Butterfly is 18 chapters. It's 152 pages. So it's a chapter book with beautiful images throughout. And it was just recently honored with a gold medal by the prestigious organization called Mom's Choice Awards. This is like getting a Pulitzer Prize for a children's book. For the best of this year, family-friendly book and inspiring story. So I'm so excited about that. Well, you know what, Rick? I initially wrote it for kids of all ages, because at the end of the book I give lots of questions for adults. If the child is too young to read a chapter book, I give lots of questions you could ask about the different images.
Yes.
And then ages like 7 to 12, you can read the book yourself. But then I'm also discovering that adults are loving it as much as children, because they're finding it emotionally healing and uplifting. So it did just win this gold medal, and it's the story of a 10-year-old imaginative spirited girl. Her name is Joy, and she reminds us of the power of optimism and the importance of spreading kindness. Now, she's blessed with characteristics of both Pollyanna and Anne of Green Gables. You and I know that a lot of people listening now won't have any idea who Pollyanna was,
yes,
or Anne of Green Gables. But it's about Joy, who moves from the hectic city with her twin brother, her four other siblings, her parents, her aunt and uncle, her grandparents, to a farm. And she saves a caterpillar that eventually turns into a butterfly, who then becomes her bestie, her best friend, and teaches her so many life lessons about faith, gratitude, kindness, about the magic of ordinary days, the joys of living a more simple life, the appreciation of nature, the mental fun and benefits of unplugging. Parents are going to appreciate that.
Oh, yes.
The butterfly teaches her about the value of believing in yourself, how to deal with bullies, how to have more courage, the merits of eating a healthy diet and keeping fit. This butterfly helps Joy navigate her ups and downs in her new life, how to dream big, how to become a magnet for miracles, how to simply connect with your guardian angels. There's so much in this beautiful, beautiful book. If I had to sum it up in one little sentence, I'd say it's a magical tale of friendship, faith, everyday miracles. It's drawn from Joy's own voice in the book and all the magical creatures that come alive in this garden. And this, the great adventures she goes on in these 18 chapters that every reader will love, like magic is, you'll learn that magic is real when your heart's open. Blessings surround you everywhere in ordinary days. Kindness always makes your heart light shine brighter, and it's the perfect story that we need these days to get more positivity into our world for children and families who cherish uplifting adventures, nature, spiritual warmth. And by the way, so if you go to SusanSmithJones.com and in the navigation bar, go to Books, and the first entry in the drop-down is Joy and the Butterfly. So you can read some reviews there. And then on page 133 in the book, Rick, I have Thoughts to Live By Daily. It's like a creed. There are 21 entries. They're two words each, like pray daily, speak truth, dream big, be reliable, forgive others. I have 21 of these, which are really the positive living underpinning for thriving in life. And I have three different versions, one with a yellow butterfly, one with the butterfly from the book. Her name is Violet, that becomes Joy's best friend, who I'll tell you actually talks to her. They talk to each other. It's a magical story. She's like a messenger from heaven, teaching Joy about kindness, faith, and gratitude, how she can transform her life, and then the whole community. And these three versions you can download free right on my website on the Joy and the Butterfly page. And you might want to frame it and put it on your bedroom wall or your child's wall or take it to the office. You can make a poster size. You can make something to go in your wallet. It's just thoughts to live by every day, which is the foundation and the basis of all the life lessons I teach in this book. And Joy has this exact in the book. She has the this beautiful creed framed on her bedroom wall that you'll see.
This is so much.
So anyway, it's available. The best place to get it, if you want my favorite, is the ultra premium color copy. It's in hardback, it's in softback, it's in audiobook, and it's in an ebook. But the premium color is only available. You go to my website and you go to a link that will take you where to order it.
Okay.
Amazon has the book. It's not ultra premium color, but on Amazon, it's got the hardback is premium color. But the best place to get it is right on my website in the navigation bar. Go to Books, go to, and then drop down. The first entry is Joy and the Butterfly. And right there, you have a QR code. You can get a hardback or a soft cover, whichever you want. Because the ultra premium color with the dozens and dozens of beautiful full color images, it's amazing. And by the way, at the end of the book, something incredible happens. And I have Joy tell every reader in her intro and in the final afterword, don't tell anyone about this wonderful secret that happens, because we want people to experience it themselves. You can talk about it to your friends and family who have read the book,
yes.
But let people discover the secret on their own, don't reveal it to them. Let them learn about it, because it will knock your socks off.
Well, this is so much more than a book, a novelette. There are so many aspects, so many themes in this book, as Susan was talking about. An excellent job, a beautiful job in writing this book. It touches, checks so many of the boxes that we want in wholesome, motivational reading for our younger people, for conversations among family members. This is a must for a family library. The book will be there and used by everyone in the family. This is a must for holiday giving, whether a holiday, birthday, any special time you are giving a book to a young person. This is the book you certainly want to consider. Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. Susan, really impressed with the job you've done in this book. A really excellent job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm so proud of this book, and to have gotten this gold medal from the Mom's Choice Awards organization, it just makes me so happy. It's been years in the making, and the honest truth is that way back when, decades ago, in the 70s, when I was hiking in my local Santa Monica Mountains, I saved a caterpillar, and then I put it on a bush, and then one day I saw the chrysalis, and then I saw it coming out into a butterfly. And that was the beginning of this storyline. And the way Joy lives on this farm with all of her animals, all these farm animals and the talking insects and all the blessings that happen, the blessing bracelet she makes and her relationship with her parents, her aunt, her uncle, her horse, Champ, the horse's Champ, with her twin brother, who's also her best friend. His name is Blaze. Living on this farmland with all the simple pleasures every day. And she goes through lots of challenges, and the butterfly helps her learn how to deal with these ups and downs. And it's really the life I wished I could have lived as a young girl growing up. But it is just a magical, magical story about friendship, faith, and everyday miracles.
And the book is available, again, wherever books are sold. You can go to Dr. Susan's website. Winning a gold medal, and you didn't have to ski down the hill to do it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
You've got
did.
Your own medal
Thank
out of the
you.
Deal here. This really is impressive. From the Mom's Choice Award, the gold medal winner for the book, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. A few seconds left at the end before we have to go. I keep talking about the monthly newsletter. If you're not getting that, you need to. How can they sign up for that?
Oh, so again, go to my website, and right over on the right, on the navigation bar, it says subscribe. And you get lots of gifts from me when you subscribe, and one is a delicious recipe for a moist, fudgy beet brownie. You don't taste the beet. It is so delicious. So you'll get other gifts from me, including a book and a recipe book and other things when you sign up for my monthly free Healthy Living newsletters. And follow me on X. You can just click on the X on my website on the top right. And also follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Susan Smith Jones, PhD.
You are all over the place. This is fantastic. You're going to reach out and you can follow Dr. Susan and get in touch with her as well. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. Again, marvelous job with the book, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. An impressive job as well, going through all of the tips for raising healthy children and vibrant families. And we'll do this again in a couple of weeks. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. And don't forget, everyone, celebrate yourself and life today.
And all of this information and more on Dr. Susan's website. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program, right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.